Isaiah 60, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side, and then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. So I want to come out of here, and my main focus is verse 1, where it says, arise and shine. Say, arise and shine. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. We talk about glory. I was just having this conversation with Ray the other day, and we were talking about faith as a substance. But if you look, glory is all over in everything, and it's that substance. So you're arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord. And sometimes we just separate because we don't really put together. Sometimes the supernatural can get separated instead of realizing that it's all connected. It's one. The King of the universe, he dwells inside of you. It's like there's glory in you, and he wants to come out of you. So if you think about it, it starts with arise and shine. And I heard the Lord speak this verse to me, and I started looking to see what is it you want to say and how do we want to tie this into the New Testament. I heard him, we're going to come out of my base point here is Isaiah 60. He also spoke to me, come out of Revelation chapter 1. And so we're going to kind of bounce between Isaiah and Revelations. So a little old, a little new. And so Joshua told the children of Israel to arise and get ready for battle. And I was thinking about that, how he told the troops before they were ready to go out. He's like, arise, get ready. You know, the Lord's going to do a great victory. Arise, get ready for battle. The disciples in Acts chapter 4, famous chapter, love that when they prayed for boldness. They had to allow their voices to arise towards heaven when they asked for boldness to boldly preach the word. And as they did, and then God, now their voices arose to God, but now God's voice is telling us to arise and shine, to allow it, not only in our prayers, but in all we do, to arise and shine. You know, and, you know, the enemy will arise in seasons. You know, in 1 Samuel, we were looking at faith. We looked at David, how David was out in the field and just tending the sheep. Have you ever been just like minding your own business? And all of a sudden, the enemy arises. And he said in 1 Samuel 17:34, he's saying, when the lion or the bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, verse 35, I went out after it, I struck it, I delivered the lamb out of its mouth. And when it arose against me, the devil will arose. He will, when it arose, this lion arose against David and he had to strike the devil. And this bear arose against him. You know, and so David then had to counter that. So we need to understand that the enemy will come and there are seasons, and that's where the enemy of fear comes in. We need to arise and shine, and we need to take it out like David did. He responded to it, and David took it out. And how do you take it out? You kill it with faith. You kill it with love. You kill it with hope. You pray it away. You do whatever it takes spiritually. We're not talking about a physical, like in the old is a type and shadow of the new. And back then it was physical, and now it's spiritual. So David arose and he took out a giant. And basically even the giant had to be aroused, because the giant was sitting down. And it says Goliath arose to come after David. The difference was when the giant came after David, we saw this, David stepped up his fight. David stepped in. David didn't tap out. He tapped in. David didn't, you know, peace out. He faithed in. And he said, I'm in this thing. I'm in this game. And then what was crazy, we saw a few weeks ago, it says that he hastened towards it. He, like a lion jumping towards its prey, he ran at the enemy. It's like, whoa, come on, David. And we need to arise and we need to head into those things that God's called us to. David arose and he hastened like a charging lion. He took out the giant. David had a season, and it was David's Super Bowl season. David went in. There's a lot of football games happening. How many of you got to watch the Dallas game? How many of you guys were hanging out watching TV? Oh, some of you aren't. Maybe you're Washington, you know, whatever, whoever, whatever. If you're Washington, I'm sorry for you, but Dallas, anyway. And how many know there's a season when it's your Super Bowl season? And how many know that if you're on a team and it's your Super Bowl season, nobody wants to be on the bench? We want to play, right? So what are they saying? They're all there, and the coach is calling the things, and then he's calling people on the field. He's calling, Terry, I need you out on the field. And Terry's like, oh, I need to arise right now, get off the bench and get onto the field, because the coach just called me onto the field. He's like, well, I can't believe I'm being called onto the field. You know, it's my time. And there's a season. There's times when some people are on the bench when they should have been out on the field. And there's times when some people are on the wrong team in the wrong season. Are you with me? But you're on God's team in God's season, and God is saying prophetically, arise. Yeah. He's calling his church into a Super Bowl season where he's saying, this is a time for the church to arise. Yeah. This is one of those marks where David was marked for life for his performance on that battlefield. But he was just a shepherd in the field, but he was called onto a battlefield. Yeah. You say, well, I was just minding my own business. I wasn't even dressed up like a warrior. I was just a shepherd. I was just ministering to God and doing what I'm called to do. But all of a sudden, I ran into this battle. Step up. Have eyes to see what God's calling you into, because there's something happening right now where God is calling his church. We need to let our faith shine. Let our faith arise. You know, you can look at all kinds of things and you can look at all kinds of battles, but all I know is that David's still standing and Goliath hit the dirt. All I know is my champion, Jesus, he's still standing. My champion, Jesus. Well, what about this? What about this? What about that? What about this? What about what? Jesus is alive. Your champion, Jesus, is alive. He's not dead. He's alive. We need to get excited about that one thing, because he can go, well, look at this and look at that. Goliath had four brothers, and look at this and look at that, and look at this and look at that, and look at this other battle, and look at this other war, and look at this and look at the economic pressure, and look at the political pressure, and look at this pressure, and look at my school pressures. Oh, got my professors. Do you even know what I have to put up with? Hey, your champion is alive. So we need to start from that starting point. Huh? It's like two players led that whole game. I mean, come on, you know, you just need a quarterback and a running back. And we got God the Father and we got Jesus. And he's busting through and we all just get to ride in on that victory. Somebody, come on, somebody. You're like, well, I don't feel so strong. You're on the winning team. You're on God's team and God's saying, arise. You're saying, I feel like I'm past my season. Tell that to Moses. Come on, somebody. Huh? Well, I don't think I'm ready for my season. Tell that to Gideon. Tell that to, just go through the scriptures and look at all the people who were called at a young age. Talk about Mary. How old was Mary? I mean, look at the people God used and the age they're at. Age isn't it. Revival doesn't know any age. Revival is, it bridges all ages. It's whoever will respond and say, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, put me in the game. Here I am, Lord. I believe it's my season. Here I am. I know my champion's alive. And when they looked, and they're all expecting David to come out a dead dude. They expected David's going out on the field. David's going to get crunched by this. I don't even want to watch, because poor little David's going up against Goliath. He's going to get crushed. I don't even want to look. And then all of a sudden, they're like, the giant is dead and David is alive. And they're like, what? And they're like, my champion now is David holding the head of some Goliath. And now they're like, our champion wasn't even your champion. He's like a schoolboy. Hello, our champion is alive. Their champion's dead. And the whole army arose and plundered the whole camp. You say, there's no way in the world we live in, there's no way that God's wave is going to break through. Have you seen the world around us? What do you think Israel was saying 20 minutes before David took out a giant? We got to change our thinking. God kind of likes to be the underdog. God kind of, he's got a whole history in that book of using underdogs. So if you're feeling like that, you might just be on a victory day. I feel like an underdog. God's like, you're going to get the ball today, boy. And I'm putting Jesus to block for you. Whew, I like that better than anything. It's like, come on now. But we got to realize that there's something happening and that there is times and seasons. And Taylor said this the other day, and as he was talking about the difference between those chronos and those kairos, there's a difference between time and a difference between God's time and God's moment. And there's a God moment that God's calling us to step into. And so we all have a chance to step into it. It's kind of not like, okay, did I make the draft? If you're born again, you made the draft. It's more like fantasy football. You get to pick it. Are you picking and putting yourself on God's team? Some of you are going, I have no clue what you're talking about, but I'm just telling you, I know I can be on that winning team because God, he takes and he shifts and he's the one who calls it out, and he called you on. And you're like, how did I get in that mix? God loves you and he called you. I want to ask you, in Mark 16:15, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What is the go in your gospel? Where's he calling you to? What's your mission? Well, I'm not talking about a missions trip. I can go on a missions trip, but I have a mission in life. My mission is to lead people to new heights. In the midst of that, I get to go to a nation and lift those people to new heights. I get to disciple and lift up my sons and daughters that are here to new heights. I get to have privileges at different, but I know a mission, and I know what fits my mission statement and my calling in life. What's your ministry? You say, well, you're in ministry. Ministry doesn't stop here. Ministry goes outside these walls everywhere we go. What's my ministry? Like Jesus, I'm going to preach, teach, and heal. I'm going to see the gospel spread to all and every. And so what is that? What's yours? Not just mine. What's yours? What part of the world are you going to leave a mark on? What part of the world's going to be different when we're gone and we're with Jesus in heaven and we're living for eternity? And what's your mark on this world? What is it? Is it in the business realm? Is it with the colleges? Is it in the educational realm? Is it in family? Is it in the artistic realm? And that's beautiful, by the way. Totally prophetic, because I want to talk about that treasure. And all of you just need to picture yourself jumping inside that treasure box. And maybe you're feeling a little empty like that, but there'll be a treasure by next service in there. And so it's kind of prophetic. Like maybe, you know, like first service people, we didn't get the treasure yet in the box. I just put a mirror in there and look inside that. Because you're the treasure. David willingly went out into the battlefield. And the Spirit of God is calling us, and he's calling us to enter the mission fields. And I'm not talking about away. I'm talking about the mission fields. The campus is a mission field. Our schools, it's a mission field. Our homes, it's a mission field. The business realm, it's a mission field. There's mission fields in all different areas, and we need to go into all of them. So number one, we need to arise and shine. It's not just, we just need to arise. And I hit this on one of the sermons past. I was just talking about the three examples on how we're with him, like in his resurrection and in his ascension, that we're to arise or to come to life, but that we're to be, or that we're to come to life, but to be likened to his ascension. And we're to arise and shine. So arise and shine. Your light is coming. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. We are made to shine. You were created to shine. You were made to shine. Arise. We must put our faith into action to arise. Shine can look different. It can look different in all of our lives. We're all to arise. But shine looks different. If you took a beautiful diamond and you looked at each different facet or each cut, it looks a little different from different angles. And each of us look a little different than the ones. And we can even have a little different degree of shine. But we're all called to arise and shine. And our goal should be to shine greater and brighter. 1A, the higher, the brighter. And that's just a principle. If I took a light and I lowered the light real low and I shut the lights off in the house, and then you could see a little bit. But if I raised it up and elevated that light, you could see greater. So if I took that light bulb up there and I lowered it down, you wouldn't see as great. When light is elevated, it spreads farther. And so we're the higher, the brighter. We're to arise. Light elevated has a greater effect. And the Lord told me, go to Revelations 1. So I want to come out of Revelations 1, verse 12. And he says, this is John on Patmos. He said, I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. First of all, before I even preach, do you know it's the only place in the Bible this is? Because I turned to see the voice. How do you see a voice? I turned to see a voice. The only place in the Bible this term is. And if John was just in a spiritual revelation, how come his physical body also interacted with the revelation when he turned? So he was, but it was both physical and spiritual. Anyway, throw you off. Let's just go back to the point. Bring that one in. So I don't know. I just think that way. So Revelation, I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. Now, Why did he take what was so important? And this is the way I think. Why, when you turned and you see Jesus, why is the first thing he's bringing up? I turned and I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet, girded about his chest with a golden band. And he describes Christ. Everybody goes right to Christ. I'd have been right there going, let me describe Jesus and forget the peripheral. But he put this on purpose. So what's the meaning of the lampstand? He plainly tells us down in verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, are the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands, which you saw, are the seven churches. So I taught on this. If you've been around, you've known that the stars that he saw were the angels. They're not angels, they're messengers, because in Revelation, you don't tell an angel to repent. So when he's telling him to the angel of the church to repent, he's talking to the messenger. So the word angels, also the word messenger, he's speaking about the pastor or the apostolic leader of those churches. So each of those seven churches has an apostolic leader, a messenger, and he sees him in the hand of God as a star shining. And so you see that is the star in the hand is the apostolic leader or pastor. And the lampstands, he says, that you saw are the seven churches. So you see the leader and you see the church. The lampstand is the church, because each of those lampstands, the lampstand's goal is to elevate the light, as I just said. So if the light is elevated, it has a greater impact. Yes. So a person called to pastor or to minister who's not a part of a church has less of an impact than someone who's a part of God's design of the fivefold of the church. It elevates them and they have a greater impact on the planet. Are you with me? The church can have a greater impact because it shines greater and it gets elevated greater. Not like elevated as a big head. I'm saying elevated to emanate Christ. Yes. Matthew 5:15 says, "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket or put it on a lampstand and give its light for all who are in the house." Jesus is speaking and he's talking about it. He says, "You're the light of the world." Say, "I'm the light of the world." And he said, "They don't take the light and stick it under a lampstand." Under a basket. So the lamp was an oil-burning lamp in their days, and that's what he's saying. You were an oil-burning lamp. You don't put that under a bushel. A bushel was a measure that they measured for a certain measure of grain. But that bushel, the grain would fall out the sides if it was a bushel with holes in the side like you see for putting corn. My grandfather raised corn, you know, on his farm. It's like, it's not a basket like that with holes. Not like peaches and apples where you just have to have. No, it's like it was for grain. It was totally sealed all the way around like a bucket. But if you took a 5-gallon bucket and you put it over a oil-burning lamp or a candle and you put it over it, how many know? We all know that thing's going out because that oxygen is going to snuff it out. Everybody in that day knew what he was saying when he said it. He was saying, you don't do this. You don't smother it. You don't put the light and you don't smother it. You don't choke it out. You don't put it in a place that lacks oxygen. And these lampstands were to elevate it, to spread the light, to be seen most easily. And Jesus was saying to be seen. He was saying to spread the light. He was saying, don't hide your Christianity. Don't put it inside and smother it, but let it go out. He was clearly saying he wants the glory to arise like the sun shining every day. He was clearly saying he wanted our lives to shine every day, everywhere we go. Are you with me? Yeah. They understood that. In 2 Corinthians 4:3, it says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. We have to shine on the lost. We have to get out and let your light shine. So when you hear being missional, it's not just saying, go on a missions trip and say, I'm on a mission. Be the light of the gospel everywhere you go. Love people. Take time to minister to people. You say, well, I'm not good at preaching. Are you good at loving? Love people. I'm not good at loving. If you're not good at loving, you need to go back to the book. And just look what they did. Jesus loved people. Good Samaritan cared for people. How hard is it to care? It's not hard to find someone who needs to be loved. And when someone sees real love, they know what. Do you know that's how come I'm here? Because I got born again and I looked like Robert Norm. I saw somebody with real love. I saw people, I lived in a world where I sold drugs. Everybody wanted what I had. They wanted to use me. Are you with me? I was in a world, it was tough. I was in a party world where everybody was about themselves, their flesh. They wanted to use you. I didn't know people that just wanted to love. And when I connected with people, that's what attracted me to the church. Is I saw people that would like buy you lunch and not say you owe me. That want to give to you. And I'm like, give. I don't know what give is. I'm from a world of take. Are you with me? I didn't know a lot about Jesus, but I knew I didn't know love till I got to the church. And when I got to the church and I saw loving people, not perfect people, loving people. Hello? Huh? It's like, it changed me. It shifted everything because love impacts. And shining light, that's shining the light of love. That's taking down the giant of fear is love. Perfect love casts out all fear. You get somebody who's like fearful, love on them. Love will cast out the fear. So next one, 1B, the fire of our faith. I want to talk about the fire. Arise and shine. That shine was an oil-burning lamp. There was a fire that they were referring to when they talked about the lamp and the lampstand. The church was a lampstand, and then that was that oil burning. There's something about the fire in our faith that helps us shine. Now look at this in these verses, just in the first three verses. Arise, shine, your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Behold, deep darkness covers the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will rise over you. His glory will be seen upon you, and the Gentiles will come to your light, and the kings will in the brightness of your shine. Six references to you or your. He's talking about you. This is you. And in this, he says, back to Revelation 1, he said, I turned to see the voice spoke to me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. This word golden, now I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you jumping inside that box right there and starting to believe you're a treasure for God. I'm talking about you because he said, I saw seven golden lampstands. He loves his church. And why did he call his church golden lampstands? Golden. This word golden is interesting. It's gold. It's made of gold. It's the purest gold used by nobles and royalty. It's the word he used is pure gold. It's soft. It's moldable, but it's pure. This gold's been purified by a refiner's fire. This gold's been purified because when it's refined, it causes impurities to rise, which must get scraped off in the refining process, where they call it dross and something else. They call it dross and something else that they scrape off the top of the gold. And what this means is there's a refiner. If you've been refined, there's a refiner. Who's the refiner? Jesus. Jesus in the middle of the seven golden lampstands. If you're refining seven different pots, you got to be in the middle to as it boils to keep dealing with each one of those. Someone said that he refines us until he can see his image and reflection in us. Do you know when the dross comes up, you can't see the reflection, but you push the dross off and then this beautiful gold layer, if you let it cool, he could see his reflection. Jesus is a refiner. Jesus, and we know this, that Jesus, he's in the middle of his church, and he wanted to be seen in the middle of his church. Why did he show John this before the message to the seven churches? Why did he show him the golden lampstand, and what is Jesus' message to this? One message that I see in the midst of this, that we need to get this and get this right. Jesus was not ashamed to be seen in the center of his seven, of the center of his churches. Those seven churches have problems. That church has this problem. That church has this problem. Very few of those seven churches didn't have a problem. But Jesus was in the center of them. Jesus is not ashamed to be seen in the center of the churches, even when there's a problem. That person's a Christian, but they got a problem. We all got a problem. You got a problem. You got three fingers pointing back at your problems. We all have problems. But that Christian shouldn't have a problem. The refiner refines the pot. He scrapes off the dross. He's the one refining. He called you pure gold. Oh, this doesn't look like pure gold. Why? Because the dross is on the top. It's just as pure as the pot over here. This pot barely started coming up now. This one's already had it rise to the surface, but everybody sees the junk. Right? Till Jesus wipes it away. But does it make one? If you took the same substance and put it in seven different pots, and this one was turned up, it starts to bubble. It starts to bubble up. And as it starts to bubble up, there's something that happens in it, and he brings up the impurities, and that's the Holy Spirit's job. The fire, you have to put fire. Well, if you take Holy Spirit, or you take that oil and you put it to that fire, and you put oxygen, it's like flashpoint. And that fire of the Holy Spirit, it fuels sometimes this process in our flesh to take out our impurities. And sometimes we just blame the devil. But God is in the process of purifying his church. And why golden and why the purest? There's a message, because you're valuable. You are so important to him. You are the most valuable thing. Why was gold the most valuable thing? Because silver tarnishes, all kinds of metals tarnish. Gold doesn't tarnish. We're divers. We could go in the bottom of the ocean. You find gold, it's still gold. It's not rusty, it's still gold. Gold is gold. Pure gold is pure gold. And I put my fingers on my mom's silver and check it, and then there's fingerprints. Huh? My dad was in the Marines, so he had a sword. We used to check it out all the time when he wasn't around because he wouldn't let us. But you put your fingers on that sword blade and you see fingerprints. You don't touch the blade of a sword. Okay? Just letting you know, Venus, you know, hello everybody. If your dad has a sword in the house, you don't touch the sword. But if it's pure gold, you could touch it. It's no big deal. But so gold was something. Do you know what? What's that got to do with you? Because he sees you as the purest of gold. You say, I feel tarnished. You can't tarnish. Blood of Jesus makes you white as snow. Paul said, I've harmed no one, and he was a part of murder. Why? Blood of Jesus made him untarnishable. Are you with me? He calls you into that treasure chest. He calls you his treasure. He called you the church. He died and paid for that treasure with the blood of Jesus Christ. And you're going to call that treasure tarnished just because the dross is coming up? Do you realize that the process happens over and over again? You bring the dross up, you scrape it off, and you turn up the fire. He takes it off and you go, oh, now that's a really good one. This one over here is not so good. They turn the heat up and bubble it up more, and more stuff comes up. And then he deals with this one, and then he comes over and more stuff's up, and he deals with that stuff. And then you're purer, if you would say, sorry for the bad English grammar. Sorry, I know I'll be corrected later, but whatever. You may feel that you're more pure than you were before, but you're still the same content. Just a little more junk is gone. Are you with me? Do you know what you do? You turn it up over. You heat it up. You move. Then you turn it up hotter and it bubbles. And then you move it off. Then you turn it up hotter. You increase the heat. So you go like, well, I don't know what's going on. I already beat the lion. The lion came. I beat the lion. Now there's a bear showing up. God, I'm a shepherd, but you sent a bear. Take the bear out. Now you take the bear out. You go, man, I got a lion. I got a bear under my belt. Man, look at my, I got my lion skin going here and my bear rug going. I'm a happy guy. I'm a happy, warm shepherd. And all of a sudden there's a giant. You're like, what the pumpernickel? I got a giant I'm facing. God, you turned up the heat even more. And he's like, I'm going to turn the heat till all that fear's gone from you, David. And David's like, you're right. It's not about me anyway. It's about the name of the living God. I will stand for the name of the living God. And he conquered his fear straight on. And when Goliath stood and he went 9 foot, I'm running straight at it. And I'm going to throw Jesus right at it and the word of God. And he threw the word. Jesus was the rock. I love the fact that David ran at it. One time the Queen of Sheba came to visit David. When the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon, came to visit David's son. And Benaniah, the one we talked about a few weeks ago, the one who went down in the pit and killed the lion, Benaniah, Solomon sent Benaniah out to greet her. She got down out of her chariot thinking it was David. Benaiah was a warrior. Benaiah, he killed lion-like faces. He went after a lion and killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day. Benaiah was one bad dude. But when she saw him, she thought he was David. Then when she realized her mistake, and that was interesting because David was a lion killer. His spiritual son was a lion killer. And when she saw him, she saw David in Benaiah. Are you with me? The character of the kingdom emanates, it comes down through the character of the king. Jesus, we get to look more like Jesus because he's the king of the kingdom and we get to emanate his character. We get to look more like Jesus. And the more time Benaiah was with David, he took on that. And that was interesting. And, you know, according to the rabbi's tradition, when she came, she saw him. She gets down. She made a mistake. So she quickly quotes an appropriate proverb. She says, you have not yet seen the lion. Come behold his den. And Benaiah wasn't the lion king, yet he was a lion killer. Are you with me? We may not be Jesus, but Jesus is inside of us. Emmanuel, God with us, God in us. He's inside of us. And the king of the kingdom. So when it says you can, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Are you with me? Huh. And the last one is faith is attractive. He says they will come. It'll come to your light. It says, Gentiles shall come to your light. Lift up your eyes. The lost shall come and the gospel shall be preached. Your faith shining is attractive. When you're prosperous, it talks about prosperity that's coming. There's a wealth transfer and a shift coming on the world, and that prosperity is attractive. We're to arise and shine. And just a few things you can take home with you. So the text points to two things. One, that we're to arise and shine. Two, that we're to lift up our eyes. We have to see, if we don't get this, if we see this as our life, we've missed it, because we are not an empty treasure in the hand of God. We have to see ourselves as the treasure. If we have a poor self-image, we won't get it. We need to arise and shine, but we need to lift up our eyes and see the value. We have to have identity. We have to know who we are, that I am that precious gold. And you may say, well, there's a little dross right now that God's wiping away, and he turned up the heat. I feel a little fire. I don't feel like very good. I feel like the bubbling gold right now, not the glistening gold, but the bubbling gold just gets rid of a little dross so you can shine more. And then in life, you'll have another time where the heat will get turned up and you'll get rid of a little more, and the heat will get turned up and you'll get rid of a little more. That's the refiner's process. That's natural to life. That's seasons. There's seasons where the heat gets turned up, and there's seasons where we get the dross wiped away. But it's the blood of Jesus Christ that wipes away every one of our sins. And he tells us by his blood, we're clean as snow. And the same blood that saves us is the same blood that wipes away that dross over and over. Are you with me? Because he loves you and is with you. You are, and we need to realize we are pure gold. We are pure gold. And the devil's going to tell you, I can't believe what you're thinking. I can't believe what you just did. I can't believe you would do that. You just say, you're looking at the dross. I'm pure gold. Oh, I can't believe what this person did. I can't believe what that disciple did. I can't believe what that disciple's doing now. He looked pretty dirty. It's like, it's just a little dross. Call out the gold. You're pure gold. You're better than this dross. Let me help you. The blood of Jesus will wash that sin. He'll wipe it away. And I'm certainly not going to judge you for the dross on you, because the fire will be turned up in my life and there'll be some dross, whether I hide it and no one knows but the refiner or not. It happens to all of us. And there'll be a hotter fire and it'll bubble more and something will come up and you'll go, I never thought that was in there. And if the heat didn't come, you never would have known that stuff was inside. Are you with me? If you resist the fire, you resist the purification. But that tempering and that's part of our Christianity. So I'm just saying to you, faith shines. But for faith to shine, we need to embrace that. Would you stand with me today? I'm out of time. Oh, Jesus, I pray your word find its place. I pray that it met its mark. I pray, God, that you would just do mighty things in all of our lives. I pray, God, that it would come to its perfect Lord, that we would all see ourselves as that treasure. I need the altar team come on up here, the prayer team come on up here to the front, because we're going to be up here to pray for you. After the service, there's some words of knowledge. If you have something in the right knee, God's going to heal your knee. Somebody has neck pain, a pinched nerve in the neck, is going to get healed. Somebody's tooth on the upper right side. If somebody's got stomach pain, God's going to relieve it. Something on the right side, there's muscular pain, and also something in the spleen, God's healing. And I just believe that he's going to take some of the self-image and just deal with it. And sometimes, you know, we always have a team that's ready to prophesy and minister to you. You just need to get a word of who you are. And don't see yourself as anything less than what he called you for. He purchased you, his church. You are pure gold. No matter what part of the process you're in, you are gold. Job said something. He said, I'll come out like pure gold. Some of you got pain. I just feel for you. I don't even know how you make it. Some of you deal with pain that I can't even touch. I don't understand. I don't walk in your shoes, but I want to walk in the master's shoes and call out the gold in you. You're not a disciple of Job. You're a disciple of Jesus, and Jesus calls you pure gold. But Job said, "When in the end, I'll turn out like gold." And he's right. In the end, he turned out like gold, and he got restored, and everything got restored. But everybody and all his friends were saying, "Man, you're messed up. Just repent. Man, you're messed up. Call the gold out." And people, would you bow your heads? Call the gold out. If you're here and you say, "Man, I want to know that Jesus who calls me gold. I want to know that Jesus who sees me as the finished product, not as the like if you had a rock that had a statue locked up inside of it, that Jesus sees the statue before he chips away all the junk. And I just want to ask you with your head bowed, if you want to know Jesus, it's as simple as saying, "God, forgive my sins." And when he forgives your sins, when you say, "I believe in that cross, I believe that Jesus was crucified, died, and buried, and I believe that he rose." When you align with his death, his burial, his resurrection, you can be saved. And he fills you with his Holy Spirit. And I want to ask you, if that's you and you're here and you say, "I want to go to heaven. And I don't know that I am, but I want to. I know there's gold in me, but I don't feel like I'm the treasure. I feel empty, but I want it." Jesus will fill you. I want to ask you, if you don't know that you're born again and going to heaven, would you just raise your hand and say, "That's me. I want that today." And if you say, "Well, I am born again, but I just need it. I need that dross pushed off, because all I see is the dirt and I don't see the gold." God, I just want you to pray all over the room with me and pray this prayer and say, "Father, forgive me. Father, let the blood of Jesus wash me. Move all the stuff away, God. By the blood of Jesus, by what he did on the cross, I receive forgiveness. And I stand today, your church. I will arise. I will shine. And I'll let your glory be seen. And I'll help bring people to that light. Now I just commission you to go into your mission fields. I commission you to go and shine, to love, to give, to bless, to believe, and to change your world. In the name of Jesus, I love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.